Breaks one tackle, but not much there to go. Maybe a yard or two. Again, well covered there by the Panthers.
Ellsworth defense swarming to the ball. Not much there.
I think we just need to design some pass plays that are more north-south. So we got twins right, single receiver left, a slot on the left. Snap. Jimenez, he's going to look to run. He's got a hole, but
keeper.
Not much to go there. He's going to get back to the line of scrimmage if he's lucky. They're calling it third and 11. Maybe he did get a little bit more there. No, loss of one. Third and one, so... We got a single receiver right, twins left here, and a tight slot left. Running back on Ben's right, Ben Jimenez. The snap, Jimenez looks to pass. He's got a guy in the middle. Great catch.
Nice
wow.
Catch. Very nice.
Tyler Williams, but unfortunately, it's only going to be about 5 yards. Will the black shirts go for it here? I say you got nothing else to lose. It's 5-10 and we're counting in the third quarter. Blackshirts looking to breathe new life into this game. Fourth and six. Single twins right here.
Let's
single
do it.
Left, excuse me. Single receiver right. Tailback on Ben's right in the shotgun. Snap. Ben looks right. He's got a guy. Miscommunication. Flowers went in. Jimenez threw out. So miscommunication results in a turnover by downs. So the Panther offense returns.
And they have great
and,
field position.
Now WIA rules with the lead. The clock will continue to run. 4:27 and counting. So it's the old saying, all but the crying here.
Tell us about that rule, Don. What is that?
I forget what the margin is. I'm guessing if it's more than 30 points, the clock continues to run. It's like the old slaughter rule in baseball. But with a clock for football. And... it's more of kind of a mercy rule. So, but we've seen our share of these, you know, in the black shirt in the last 20 years. I know Mary Jane has. So, and Ellsworth's going to call timeout here, interestingly enough, with 3:56 remaining. So, but while we have the pleasure of Mary Jane's company, have you been to Mia's lately, Mary Jane, our sponsor?
I actually was there last week on Wednesdays. I head down to Whiskey Night. But, you know, you have to have something to eat. So I was there and had a delicious salad and calamari. So
Whiskey Night at House of Guinness, right?
House of Guinness. Love that place. Yep. Visited on Wednesdays.
Nice. Good deal.
But Bo does a really beautiful job there. All the recipes, both traditional and his own. A
lot of stuff from scratch, yep.
He scratch cocktails, too.
There you go. Yes. Panthers offense back out here. They've got a pistol formation. Nelson's behind Stoltenberg. Stoltenberg's going to roll out right. It's a pass play. He's got a guy. Beautiful pass. Great tackle, though.
Nice tackle.
Nice open field tackle. You got that right.
That was Chris Hothouse Flowers. Looks like it'd be a 5 or 6 yard gain. 6-7.
So Mary Jane for alumni night. How
so
many
it's
people
be second
did,
and four.
Did you see at the event?
Still out
the
there. Still partying out
I
there.
I would think there would be at least 45 people. And a couple of them I happen to know, and they even knew my father. So that was great. I didn't see my
second
class
second and four
there,
for the Panthers.
I didn't.
Stoltenberg gets a handoff in there.
Invite many people.
It's going to be Ethan Meenendal with the run now. He's going to move the chains. Good run up the middle there for gain of about six. Ball's going to be now at the black shirt 20. Clock running not fast enough, 3 minutes and counting. Panthers come back to the line after the huddle. It's a pistol formation with Stoltenberg calling the plays, or calling the at the helm, I should say. Snap, handoff in reverse here, sniffed out by the black shirts.
Nice.
Tackle for a loss, Justin Primetime Geezy. Big play. I think he does manage to get back to the line of scrimmage there. So make that second and 10 with 2:30 and counting. Again, the visiting Panthers of Ellsworth High School, way out in the western part of the state, leading our beloved Blackshirts 42-6. Timeout by the Blackshirt defense here.
So, Don, I always love that when they have the alumni night because it's a nice gathering. Tonight's really humid, but the sunset is absolutely gorgeous.
We've really been blessed with the weather these last couple years on opening night. And the last, 2 years, we had some winning nights. 2 seasons ago, it was a Hail Mary to win it from Tac Tadioka to Dylan Gutenberg. Last season, there was a big second half that resulted in a 42-6 victory over Milwaukee Lutheran. And this year, we invited a team that was 10-2 the year before. Granted, they play out in Wisconsin, and they had a long drive, but real credit to them. They look mid-season form. No real – a couple of mistakes, but not enough to lose a game. Power formation now. They're going to hand it up off the middle. Levi Nelson again, still in the game after those two big touchdowns. He's going to get some very big yardage there. Looks like an 8-yard gain. With the clock running, 2:04 and counting. That's going to make it, I believe,
third and three.
So short yardage situation for the Blackshirt defense, deep in their own territory at their own 13. Can they get a big stop here?
Let's do it, Blackshirts.
We got pistol formation. And a runner, they sniff him out in the backfield. Big loss. That might be a loss of two there. Big play by the Blackshirt defense. They sniff that out. Kane Hendricks came in motion from the left, from the flank.
Nobody got fooled on that
one. And Anthony Bajinski of Banting Park sniffed that out. Big tackle.
And they're going for it. Fourth and five.
Bajinski, the junior. Horning Middle School grad. So they're going to go for it, and it's this time it's a power eye formation. Stoltenberg's under center. Receiver in motion from the right to the left. Up, movement by the Panthers. I saw the receiver on the split left there. Parker Peterson left early. Might have been some other players, so.
That might change that dynamic.
Nice break. Yeah, maybe they'll go for the field goal here.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I would, just to give the kicker a shot, and I think that's might be what they're doing here.
Yeah, they're bringing him in.
Omar Colson, will he be the kicker here? Or will they go for it with 10 yards? Nope, they're going to go for it. Power eye formation, only one receiver on the left, a flank on the right who's now going to come over to the left. And they're going to pass. They got a guy on the right. Oh, almost came down with it. Incomplete, and the Blackshirts will take over on down. So a good defensive stand.
There goes the clock.
Good looking passer to Nick Horseman. Looks like he could have brought it down. Chris Flowers had some great coverage. This is the end of the third quarter, so we're going to take a break here in the Blackshirt Football Radio Network, brought to you by Mia's. Don't go away. Lots more to cover in the fourth quarter.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Sure. We can come back, Johnny. We're back. No. Yes.
Not yet.
Okay. Yes, you're back.
Say when.
Yep, we're live.
Hey, welcome back to Ken Hollop Stadium. Starting the fourth quarter, the Blackshirts take over on downs after a big defensive stand, but still trail 42-6. Twins right, single receiver left. The snap, he's got Stout underneath coverage. Stout makes the catch. He's going to get about a four or five-yard gain before being pushed back. So the good news for the Stout Brown family with the Menizen is Stout's going to get a lot more touches there. So second and six for the Blackshirts there. As Jimenez looks for the calls. Twins right, single receiver left. Pazinski on Jimenez's right. Snap. Jimenez passes, gets Stout again. Stout this time in the 30, gets the 31. That's enough for a first down, so.
All right.
Playing some small ball and nickel and diming them, and it's working. With 11, 15, and counting. Normally that clock would stop on the first down, but with the slaughter rule, the clock keeps moving. So, single receiver left, Twins right. Pazinski on Ben's right. Here comes the snap. Again, he's going. This time he's going long to Stout. It's a little too long and out of bounds. So,
I think he threw that one away, Don.
Yep. I think Stout was going to try to lobby for a holding call, but I think won't.
Yeah, well, there was a little handsy stuff going on there, but yeah. It wasn't quite
nothing major.
For the Zebra to say, you know what,
here comes a 10:42 and counting here, second and 10, ball at the 31-yard line of the Blackshirts here, trailing 42-6, looking for some respectability here. Another touchdown or two would do that. Some good defensive play. Twins right, single receiver left. Pazinski on Jimenez's left. Second and 10. Snap. He's going to give it the running back this time. No, he fakes. Beautiful fake. He's got Stout.
Open.
Stout. Oh! Shoestring tackle saves a touchdown, but Evan Stout gets all the way to the Panther 36.
Well, it was fun. It was definitely fun.
10:08 and counting. First down. There. Great pass by Jimenez. Great catch by Stout. Great tackle there. Game-saving tackle by the corner.
Stout caught that right in stride.
So Stout now 3-for-4 on catches here in the second half. There's a quick pass here. Oh, nope. No, that's incomplete. You have to call it close, though. Got to be careful with those lateral passes. They were trying to get the general, Zayas DeWalt, was the intended receiver there. Pass is just a little too high. DeWalt had some space there, might have got some yardage, but 9:26 and counting, second and 10. Twins right, single receiver left, ball on the left hash. Pazinski on Ben's left. That was a great play action there because I thought Pazinski had the ball on that first down pass to Stout. Jimenez long. Oh, collision in midfield.
That was a big collision. Black shirt down.
Black shirt down, and that was Omar Colson with the play. He wasn't trying to hurt the play. He was going for the ball. That was the general, Zayas DeWalt. He's sitting up, which is a good sign. And Caitlin and crew will come out just to give him a good once-over.
Justin Giese went out there to kind of check on him, but
yep,
they got the
yep. DeWalt's back on his feet. He's a tough kid, but he's definitely put him in the concussion protocol. And again, a great defensive play by Omar Colson there, going for the ball.
That was a hell of a hit.
Just a tough collision. So, and Chris Hothouse Flowers will come in for DeWalt, or Tyler Williams, excuse me, and then flying. So Twins right. Single receiver left. Pazinski on Jimenez's left. It's now third and 10 here. Here's a snap. Some pressure. Jimenez in trouble, and he gets sacked. Clint Hoyer, the 6'1 junior, fought his way in and got Jimenez for a big loss. So now it's going to be fourth and 21. Blackshirt offense still out in the field, though. Need a long play here. It's got to be a quick pass, or Jimenez has to roll out.
That defensive line is just laying their ears back. Really yep. Coming after him now.
Good coverage at first. Good blocking at first, but Hoyer fought his way through. Twins right, single receiver left on this long fourth and 21 here. Jimenez, high snap. He gets it, though. He's going deep. He's got a guy, and it's tipped. Oh, an incomplete. Intended for Tyler Williams, well covered over the middle. There had to be five Panthers in that zone there, ready to break that up. So with 8:03 and counting, Ellsworth will take over on downs here. at what looks like the their own 48-yard line. And again, with a lot of their backups in, they're looking to make some memories here. So Blackshirt defense has to pin their ears back. Stoltenberg still in a quarterback. Levi Nelson back in a tailback, interestingly enough. Fullback's Ethan Venadel. Flanker in motion to the left. It's going to go right up to Nelson again. And Nelson, the big gain, tackled by Flowers with help from Lascano. That's an 8-yard gain. And I think Nelson's looking to develop some game film. He's only a junior, though. 7:09. I think the rationale is these are a lot of guys blocking for him that'll be blocking for him senior year, so they're just giving the boys some good touches. 7 minutes and counting here. Panthers looking for some more experience here with a 42-6 lead. Single receiver right. Power formation. They're going to go left. Nelson a toss. Good trip. He's got the first down. Justin Giese with a shoestring tackle there. Trips up Nelson. And really well-designed toss play. Mary Jane, did you know the difference between a pitch and a toss?
I think so.
So a pitch or a sweep, you're going outside. A toss, you're going in like the three hole. Three or four hole.
You know, my sons are going to get after me for not knowing that.
Twins right. Pistol formation. Stoltenberg looking right. He's got a guy in the flat. He hits him. Breaks a tackle. And he gets about five or six more. Giese, the sure-handed Giese, went a little too high on that. Tyler Williams does make the tackle, though, so it's going to be second and two here. 5:56 and counting here. In the fourth quarter.
That was a rare miss by Giese. Usually he's,
sure
pretty,
was. Yeah.
He's pretty right on.
Yep.
So went a little high there, and the guy slipped underneath him and got a nice gain.
Sure has. So we have a split formation here. Power eye, split receiver, excuse me, and flag. It's going to be a timeout on the Blackshirt defense here with 5:30. And we'll take one here on the Blackshirt Football Radio Network brought to you by Mias. We'll be back.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Which is smart.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Say when, Johnny. Do you have one of these for your car?
We're right. Live.
And we're back.
Ken Hallup Stadium. Downtown Donnie Brown with Johnny Watermelon and our third guest, Mary Jane Sanchez, class of 77, here for Alumni Night.
Oh, black shirts.
Mother of Antonio Sanchez here. Oh, they draw a guy off sides here. That's going to be defense. That's going to be an automatic first down. So
it sure is.
That was Oliver Shimoleski who bid on that, the senior.
That's happened a couple
times. Another one of
tonight.
The OGs who's been with the program since fifth grade. So, Mary Jane's son, Antonio, still holds the longest field goal record here for the Blackshirts. Class of 2016. Yeah.
Most punts.
So, yep.
Longest punt. Most field goals.
Power eye. That's going up the middle. He's got some room. Big run all the way to the 11. Kane Heinrichs. And we got an injured black shirt. Nope. He's getting up. No trainer. Adriel Diaz was a little shaken up after that tackle, but good to see Diaz back in the lineup. And I'd like to see him play some more receiver. 4:59 and counting. Wow. The Crusaders are losing 24-0 of CMH. Crusaders losing to Marquette 24-0. Don't hear that score very often for them. Our rivals in the Parkland Conference next year. Stoltenberg Pay's got a guy wide open in the end zone. Touchdown. That's number six, Nick Horstman.
48-6.
It's now 48-6 with 4:40 left. And really not much to that play, just no black shirts there to cover. He came from the flank in kind of a down and out pattern. And Stoltenberg hit him on the spot in motion. So good night there for the backup, Jack Stoltenberg. He's glad he made the trip all the way here to the Milwaukee area, to the Springs, to the Suffragette City. And they're going to do an extra point here. They'll make it 49. Stoltenberg's in a hold. I didn't get the kicker's number here. The snap, the hold, the kick.
It's no good.
And it's off the goalpost. No good.
Hit the bottom of the goalpost.
Wow.
Bounced right
a
back.
A little volleyball
there. Yep. So that was number eight, Nathan Augustine, the sophomore, tried that kick. And it was on target, but it was just a little too low. Went off.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude. Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're Did going you know to be that? The lobsters of the future.
They also that. Got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few big. Kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
You've heard the word a lot lately, but what does it mean to be arraigned? The Department of Justice describes it as the first court appearance for someone facing criminal charges. A judge reads those charges, then the accused enters a plea. At the end of an arraignment, a trial date is set along with bond. And depending on the severity of the charges, the judge can add conditions to take away the defendant's weapons or passport before being released. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Ken Holub Stadium. We just finished up the game here. The game for the Blackshirts ended up being the guests from Ellsworth, Wisconsin, the Panthers, 48, and the hometown Blackshirts, 6 points. So that was a kind of a showing here that they got pushed around a little bit. So the Blackshirts lost tonight, 6-48 from the Ellsworth Panthers. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
This is the best of The Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1933. That was the day garment factory owners locked out dressmakers in several shops throughout Los Angeles. The women garment workers, overwhelmingly Mexican, had been organizing with the ILGWU for over a month. They began conducting strikes at selected shops the previous month to press their demands. The women wanted union recognition, a 35-hour work week, end to homework, shop floor committees, a guaranteed wage, and more. Historian Douglas Monroy observed that their demands reflected the harsh working conditions that they faced. It was a volatile, competitive seasonal industry. Businesses worked tirelessly to undercut each other and job out the work. Women workers were routinely unemployed or underemployed, subject to widespread wage theft and discrimination. They were frustrated by promises of the new Industrial Recovery Act, which promised the right to organize, but held no provisions for enforcement. Employers flaunted the new legislation and continued to discharge workers for union activity. When the employers forced a lockout, Local 96 looked to the AFL's Central Labor Council to sanction a general dressmakers' strike, which started 4 days later on October 12th. As many as 3,000 Latina strikers maintained solid picket lines despite dozens of arrests. ILGWU organizer Rose Posada arrived from New York to help with food distribution and packing the picket lines. The rank-and-file leadership produced a bilingual strike bulletin and made daily radio announcements. The strike ended in arbitration that conceded few gains to the garment workers. But the women of Local 96 continued to organize throughout the Los Angeles area. They led a series of strikes that would eventually win the closed shop.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Throughout the country, newspaper subscribers are asking questions like, hey, who took my Saturday paper? What happened to those political cartoons and columns that I liked? Why does it take 2 days to get election results and sports scores? How did my local paper get filled with filler? Oh, and who doubled the price of the damn thing? The cause of all the above is a Wall Street concept called financialization, a euphemism for corporate plundering. Multibillion dollar hedge funds like SoftBank Group, Alden Capital, and Chatham Asset have bought up thousands of our dailies and weeklies. They extract enormous profits not by making a better journalistic product for customers and the community, but by eliminating reporters, selling off each paper's real estate and assets, shriveling and standardizing content, and jacking up the paper's price. Like avaricious airlines, the profit strategy of these Wall Street newspapers is to monopolize the market, then charge more for less. But won't readers stop subscribing? Of course, they're leaving in droves. But hedge fund profiteers don't care, for their plan is to strip mine the business of every dime it has, take the profits, and leave town. For example, SoftBank, the Japanese owner of the Gannett chain, has pillaged hundreds of our local papers and is now making another round of deep cuts in its newsrooms, including dumping some 800 more journalists. The financializers are also requiring other employees to take unpaid leave and are suspending payments to their pensions. SoftBank bosses simply said, "We need to ensure our balance sheet remains strong." This is Jim Hightower saying, sure, take care of number one, but what about ensuring that local journalism remains strong, providing the information and connections that communities must have for strong democracies? But don't be silly. That's not part of the hedge fund business model.
This is the best of the Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as we spend a little time here at the Hawkeye Area Labor Council Steak Fry, I love these things because you get to see all the candidates come through, and I'm fortunate enough to sit here with Admiral Mike Franken, who is running for Senate here in Iowa, taking some shots, taking some arrows, but hopefully our next senator from the great state of Iowa. Mike, thanks for taking time for us.
Very pleased, Rick. And those aren't so much arrows as they are broadsides, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, you're taking some hits. Too liberal, I guess, one out of touch, another because you want people to have health care, you want people to have good jobs. That too liberal, too?
Well, I mean, also, it's got a pretty long list. I'm at one hand, I'm a warmonger, and then the next one, I'm overly peacenickish. So, and then also, I've been gone for a long time for the state of Iowa, so of course, I'm no longer an Iowan. So they add a lot of those things to me. But, you know, when I signed up for the United States Navy and was gone for 40 years doing that, no one said I couldn't come back. And I'm happy to be back in the place where ultimately I'll be buried.
There you go. Now, we saw down in Georgia, you know, a lot of attacks on military people as they're trying to steal their right to vote. We're in a moment where democracy is really under attack, something people like you and our military fought for.
Yeah, you know, the basic oath, which I have given 11 times, I believe, and I think Chuck Grassley's given it something thereabouts, and it says, you know, you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So in my life, much of that was overseas, but an element of it domestically as well. But nothing looms as important as post-January 6, where 139 House members on the Republican ticket all believe that your vote really ought not count, in essence. And the very basic element of democracy is the right to vote, a representative vote. So it's very odd that this is the case that we're talking today. But what we're seeing is an element, a swirling darkness of America come to the forefront, and I believe it's time for significant leaders, serious leaders with serious solutions to step up and do their country's business.
Yeah, I look at someone like Chuck Grassley, who has been in the Senate for, well, a lot of years. I would have thought he would have had more courage in the moment that was January 6th and all of the election denial that's come out of this.
Well, he should speak to himself on this matter, but I think the two very important elements in anybody in elected office ought to be empathy. You ought to care for your fellow humankind. And the basic adage that my mother used to drone into us is care for those you've never met as much as those you know. And secondly, the most undersubscribed sensibility, professional sensibility, is leadership. And as you say, he has been AWOL, absent without leave on leadership. Always takes the back seat. Even the photographs of January 6th, where he's in the background, standing against the wall, fiddling with his phone, you should be part of the solution. You have more history there than anybody. You should be part of the decision matrix. You should be involved in getting it done. And then rooting out the cause and holding those who are to account to account. And he has, again, before, during, and after, been AWOL.
How important is January 6th in this campaign? How important is his role in this and, you know, some of the statements that he made there around?
Well, it's a sliding scale. He has a covey of supporters who are absolutely nonplussed by this issue. Does not interest them. They believe it's just a bunch of patriots that are having a rambunctious
day. Was it a regular day in our capital?
No, I'm thinking not. I've never seen such a thing. And I was apoplectic. I couldn't believe it. I've seen this in other countries up close, but never in the world standard bearer of democracy and in our throne of government. And shame on us as a nation. And shame on those who perpetrated this.
You know, January 6th, you know, a lot of the people who were there were former veterans, military people.
Yeah.
Are we concerned about the state of our military? And as someone who spent 40 years?
The military is pulled from society, the whole cross-section. So you have all the goods and the bads and the likes and the dislikes associated with it. Certainly, there were an inordinate number of military people who should know better. And they had no business. They should have had that realization, and I would expect the United States military will hold everyone to a highest account. But yeah, they above everyone should know this.
Yeah, I hope that happens. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Admiral Mike Franken, Iowa Senate candidate. You can check out his website, frankenforiowa.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can do that. Now, too liberal evidently for Iowa, but the things you talk about, good jobs, reshoring manufacturing, investing in our country, that doesn't seem too liberal to me.
Listen, that's just, here's the situation in the state. They have a senator who's been in office for 63 years, and a very low percentage of Iowans thought he ought to run again. And there he's at 99% name recognition. He has to get above that number. And the only way he can do it, because everybody knows his record, is by denigrating that person he's against. So they're grasping. And anything that's considered a strength of mine suddenly becomes a fallible thing. And it's just kind of the plan they do. I mean, it's an age-old situation. So too liberal. Listen, Iowa is the state that educated George Washington Carver. It's the state that said women should go to law school, or that women can be in grad school with men, or that was 85 years ahead of Brown versus Board of Education. It was the third state that said, listen, as long as you love the person, you marry who you want. We are a state, we had a state that had really aggressive agricultural conservation techniques in the 60s and 70s, ahead of most of the country. This is Iowa. It's not that we're progressive. We are just forward-leaning. We want the best of everybody, and we want to get along with everybody. And let's not mistake forward progress with backsliding into their concept of 1950.
Yeah, our original intent, friends, I like to talk about the original intent of the Constitution, and I always say that it's putting women back in the kitchen, blacks back in the field, and gays back in the closet. Sadly, at least that's what it seems like to me, this kind of anger and hatred. Instead of moving us in a direction that we need to be, which is forward, we need to be reshoring manufacturing for national security purposes and for our economy. We need to be investing heavily in our infrastructure, and we're on that path. I think we're heading in the right direction.
Well, I think you for some of my, I've got six sisters and a wife and a daughter, et cetera. I think the other thing you might want to add is, where do they want to put these abortions? In the back room? Hiding? Unsanitary situations? Unhealthy situations? This isn't their business. This is a woman's business. And
so are you pro-choice?
I'm for a woman's choice. Absolutely. And as a man, I am poorly equipped to tell a woman what to do. And I just wouldn't do that. Absolutely. And I think in the heart of every woman out there, she's absolutely indignant that she's being treated differently on a different plane than the guy in her life.
No, I worry about my daughters. I've got two daughters. I worry that they're going to be second-class citizens at the mercy of some guy, which is where my mother's generation had to fight from. So the stories that I heard from my mother, I don't want for my daughters.
Well, in those very dire situations, I'm not looking to have a constitutional lawyer, Chuck Grassley, Mitch McConnell, in the delivery room telling me yay or nay what that doctor was going to do for that mother. We need a grip. The Republican Party is using this as a cudgel to club and develop money from the evangelical right, and it's just terrible in the country because it's such a gut splitting and personal thing, and they're weaponizing this against women.
So how do we pull the country back together? Because we're in a moment where, depending on which hat you're wearing, red hat, blue hat, which T-shirt you bought, that's what's dividing us. How do we pull that back together?
Well, I've got a history of being apolitical in the military. This is how we work. There are no questions of alliances, et cetera, just, you know, the country and doing the mission at hand. So, and when we retire from the military, we go about our way, and but I believe we've got that brother and sisterhood that we all remember those days. And I'm a farm kid from Iowa. I'm a rural roots. We got along with everybody in the neighborhood. There was a time when we didn't have a problem, but here's the big thing. You know, if you look at January of 2002, this country was entirely together. We had witnessed an attack on the nation, and the Democrats, Republicans were completely coalesced. And although we didn't necessarily step out on the right foot and do the right thing right off the bat, we were together. Now, the leadership that exists, Democrat, Republican today, are the same people that were in a leadership position or thereabouts back then. So we were together, and they led us astray. And the media is part of that. The media is part of this. And the manner in which media outlets have been purchased and minimized people's external influences, and the demise of good radio, demise of small town newspapers, have all played a role in this. And maybe we need new leadership across the board. It's time for a new era. Come together as a nation, because there's far more that combines us than separates us.
I say the same thing, and I think right here in this hall, you know, labor is the way forward. If we can pull people back together in the workplace, we can fight for better wages, hours, conditions, opportunities for families. You know, maybe that revived that American dream thing that I grew up believing in.
Yeah, when I was 18, the world was open to me. I was working in a slaughterhouse. I was working for my dad as a welder. I was a math tutor. I had all sorts of activities, and I considered, my gosh, working in this slaughterhouse, this is good money. I enjoy this. I'm tired when I leave work and do my 60-hour work week, and I was making money. I bought a house when I was 24 years old. You could do that with wages back then.
Today, with union wages back then.
Today, you know, unions were that rising tide that lifted all ships. All wages. Now today, I'm driving to Carroll, Iowa, stop at a Stop and Shop, and a woman's working behind the counter. I say, how much do you make? She says, $9.50. My heart broke. I said, do you have a benefits package? She goes, no. I said, do you get 40 hours in? Yes, and plus one day on the week. And she didn't have a ring on her finger. So I figured, A, demographics as they are, she's probably a single parent. And she's, because of parents, because of kids, et cetera, because of ex, whatever it may be, she's trapped here in a way. So what's her future? When's the last time she's had a dental appointment? Or when she's been on a vacation? Or when's the last time she's bought something for herself? Her disposable income is damn near nil. This is not the way we live in Iowa. This isn't a life of dignity. There's no unions around that to lift up the wages, and consequently she's in this dire situation. Too poor to do anything else, and too encumbered to move away. We need a different perspective in the state of Iowa.
Not just Iowa, the entire country, yeah. Because what you just talked about is replicated in state after state. And as we're doing this trip, as we're talking to workers across multiple states, it's the same thing. The last question I've got for you, Admiral, and you're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're with Admiral Mike Franken, his website, frankenforiowa.com. We'll get links out on social media. You know, you've got Rick Scott and his plan to sunset all federal programs, Social Security, Medicare being a big part of that. If that were to happen, we would talk about mass chaos for seniors and for people who are retired in this country. Thoughts on going away
sure.
with Social Security, what the kind of bankruptcy problems we would have, the kind of chaos that would bring?
How about hunger? How about sickness, disease? So here's a data point. My parents lost all their meager savings during the savings and loan debacle of the 80s. Now, you're too young to remember
this. No, I remember it.
But this was traumatizing. And after many, 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 many years later, they got 19 cents back on the dollar. But that broke my mom and dad's heart. And they ended up working in the machine shop together. My little mom, 125 pounds in coveralls, well into their 70s. Because they wouldn't take anything from the kids. We could have made them give them a life of Midas, but they didn't. They would not do it. But they relied on Social Security. Without that, they would have been destitute. Is this what we want? Is this America? Is this the America where you've got corporate income that is, what, 30, 40 times the starting salary in corporations? Where stock,
300.
Stock buybacks are more than the corporation put in for generating new business or for reconstructing their infrastructure? Are you kidding me? This is not. This is capitalism run amok. And somebody in the room's got to be the grown-up, it's got to be the referee, and that's government. And that's government's role to provide clean air, clean water, a safe food supply, a safe environment, education, apprentice training, a good job, a good security, and health care for perpetuity, from cradle to grave. That's the government's role, and that's what the future for Iowa should be, and we should stop the nonsense that pulls us apart.
Amen. If I lived in Iowa, most certainly you would have my vote. The website, frankenforiowa.com. Admiral, I appreciate you taking time for us. Best of luck once you're in the Senate. We'd like to have you come back and talk to us again.
I would love that. Thank you, Rick. Just so you know, we outraised Chuck Grassley, and our polls are tied.
And I'm really hopeful that Mr. Grassley is well on his way. Thanks so much. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. The talk.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, and we're going all the way back to 1648. More than 100 years before the American Revolution, an early trade organization was founded in the colony of Massachusetts. They called themselves the Company of Shoemakers. Shoemakers were considered skilled craftsmen, yet changes in how shoes were made threatened their craft. The shoemakers were particularly concerned about low-skilled workers driving down wages. They formed their guild in an effort to protect their trade. This has been the basis for much of the trade union movement. The guild members argued that they were stopping, quote, the damage which the country sustains by occasion of bad wear. They wanted to set a quality standard for their industry. To ensure that standard, they set up an apprentice system by which new workers could learn their craft under the instruction of an established shoemaker. Nearly four centuries later, we hear similar declarations from union electricians, carpenters, and plumbers. Recognizing and promoting the professionalism and the skill of their craft is an important function for trade unions. Yet there were some differences between that early shoemakers' guild and today's labor movement. One of the most notable was the names for official duties in the guild. Instead of president or secretary treasurer, the shoemakers of Boston included titles such as a searcher, a warden, and a beadle. Another difference is that the Massachusetts colony outlawed the guild from, quote, fixing prices, so the guild could promote the quality of their work but could not organize for specific wages. The skilled shoemakers were some of the earliest workers to organize together. Today's labor movement continues to walk in their shoes.
These boots are made for walking.
Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
FrankenForIowa.com, the website. I got to tell you, Michael Franken, a very impressive candidate. Impressive guy, to be honest. You know, sitting talking with him, enlightening somebody you want in the Senate. And this is the thing that gets me. We're in a moment where Herschel Walker could actually be in the U.S. Senate, but a guy like Mike Franken might not be. I mean, there's in that some bit of injustice. And here to share some thoughts of our interview with Mike Franken, our good friend, the producer, the professor, Brett Pransky. Brett, thanks for being here.
Hey, always glad to be here.
So what did you think of Mike Franken? I mean, you know, we had a beer with him. We're, you know, just like one of that old, hey, he's a guy I'd like to have a beer with. He's a guy we had a beer with, and I liked having a beer with him.
No, I share your opinion about him. He is an impressive individual. Again, he's, you know, he's an admiral, and you know, just all together, just a really kind of impressive guy. Carries himself, you know, incredibly well. One thing that that I noticed that really stuck with me, I kept thinking about over and over again as we were speaking to him, is that, you know, Iowa has kind of turned, you know, into a fairly red area, you know, statewide. Although there are, you know, pockets of Democratic support throughout the state, but, you know, in the last couple election cycles, they've really taken a you know, kind of a turn to the right. But one thing I noticed about Mike Franken is that while progressives might not be, you know, all that popular in some of these spaces, progressive values certainly are, because he, you know, he led with progressive values from the very beginning, and everything he said seemed to line up with what we're hearing from the folks all over Iowa.
So maybe we do that turning it around a little bit and just call them Iowa values, because, you know, the idea of feeding people, the idea of creating jobs, the idea of caring for communities and each other, something he talked about and honed in on. Look, I was trying to lead him in different directions, and he zeroed right back in. Look, you know, all that other stuff, it doesn't matter. It's about making lives better. And I like that about the guy. No nonsense whatsoever.
Yeah, I noticed that too. He spoke very directly in a world of talking points where we expect candidates to, you know, deliver on their message and, you know, and give us kind of those pre-cooked talking points. He really didn't. And, you know, very direct in everything he said. And again, just, you know, core Iowa values. I think it's a great way to put it.
No, because I started with it. I said, you know, the knock against you is you're too liberal. You're out of touch. You're all these things, which is what the right always does. And he's like, you know, I'm an Iowan, man. This is what our values are and what they were and what we need to get back to. And, you know, talking about his childhood, talking about growing up here and the hard work, the work ethic that this guy has. And I think that's important to talk about, the fact that, you know, these are folks who believe, you know, they believe in hard work.
Yeah, they really do. One thing I really liked about the Admiral's, you know, approach was that he not only talked about the things that he valued, he also ran us through the history of Iowa and all the different times that they had done things first and done things ahead of, you know, of other parts of the country, many things that we would consider to be very progressive. But he didn't, you know, he never really put that label on it.
Yeah, now you got Chuck Grassley, who's been in the Senate for literally ever. I think he's, what, going to be 95 years old or something like that by the time this ends. Could be the next Strom Thurmond, 100 years old, still in the Senate. I think you want to talk about out of touch. You want to talk about completely out of touch. Every jobs, the economy, education, all things that Grassley seems to be, when he speaks, on the wrong side of.
Yeah, he really does. And again, you, in the past several years, he's just aligned himself with, you know, with Trump and some of the worst things that administration has done through the years, and is still now, you know, signaling that this is the approach that he's going to take should he be elected again.
You know, I really enjoyed our time at the Hawkeye Area Labor Federation Steak Fry. I wish we had these do they have these in your neck of the woods? I mean, because nothing like this event. I mean, they had this giant big char pit out there with these massive chunks of steak. And again, all of the candidates from local county supervisor to, you know, all the people running for state house and state senate, all the way up to the guy who's running for senate and the woman who's running for governor, all in one space, all accessible to the people who took the time to show up. And it was open to everybody. It's one of those things that I think we need to be doing much, much more of.
Yeah, and one thing I really enjoyed about it is that lots of times at these events, if you go to see a candidate, especially if you go to see the top of the ticket, most of the time they come in, they say a few words, and then they have somewhere they have to be. And while I can respect that, and I understand that that's sometimes the way a campaign goes, the candidates who showed up to speak at this function, you know, they sat there and they worked the room and they spent the entire time talking to constituents. They didn't hop on a bus and take off and go to the next place, although I know sometimes that, you know, that's necessary, needs to happen. But they stopped and spoke to everyone in the room. And I found that really impressive, because you don't see a whole lot of that.
You think that's an Iowa thing? I mean, because, you know, when you think of like the presidential caucuses and the things that happen here, this is the norm here. So is it, you know, as outsiders, we're just like, wow, this is fabulous. We should be doing this. We should take this home with us.
Yeah, I really do. I think it's an Iowa thing. I think it's a retail politics thing. I think it's a grassroots thing. I think it's something that, you know, the candidates in other areas could really learn a lot from, is this, you know, this ability to kind of stick around and talk to every voice in the room, because every person you touch, every person you spend.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.